was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Curry, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Two left of them. I've been so, so stingy with them.
Good for you.
Like, it's only for very special treats, Sundays.
Oh, that is. And that's how it should be shown. So what do you smoke the rest of the time?
Mall.
Like, rubbish?
It's poor mall. Unashamedly. Mm-hmm. Illicit from Mozambique, and they are perfect cigarettes, and they cost 50 rand a box. Sorry, Joburg.
but that's how, I mean, it's so ridiculous that this is what's happened. And what happens now is that money just doesn't go into the public sector. It doesn't go into helping anybody through this. It's just too terrible. Really, here's an idea.
Okay, we've got an alcohol problem and a cigarette problem, right? Mm-hmm. We've all worked out that people will pay an enormous amount of money for cigarettes. In fact, to be honest, my cigarettes that I normally smoke are now selling for 1,900 rand a carton in Johannesburg. So if you put the cigarettes and alcohol back on the shelves at three times the price.
Exactly.
We're firstly going to give you more money, and secondly, we're going to buy less. So you're going to achieve both objectives. Okay? Problem solved. Can we move on to the weekend numbers?
She's very businesslike today. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that, Samantha? Yeah. There's no messing about here. Sure. She's all right.
No, there isn't. You know what, Howard?
Yes.
Like, I am tired of messing around.
Good for you. Let's look at the weekend
numbers. I was going to start with Bulelani Kolani, but let me go to why I am so tired of messing around. And it was the most annoying story this week, was the presidential imbizo. Did you watch that shambles?
I didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, thank God you didn't.
Was it a waste of time?
Well, I want to know who organized it, because I'd like to bill them for the nation's time, please.
Wow.
When I read that there was a virtual imbizo with Ramaphosa, I was elated, okay? The president finally heard us. Mm-hmm. We needed to talk to him, and I rejoiced. So I even stopped watching Fawlty Towers. Yes, I've hit that level. I'm watching Fawlty Towers for the 567th time.
It's so wonderful. So, yes.
Well, it isn't. It's racist. I'm sorry to tell you,
stop
but if you want now, you're going to cringe.
It is racist.
You're
going
to take it off.
Please, that mustn't, because it's
appalling.
A reflection of the time, and we need to be able to show our children what was. We can't pretend it didn't exist. Anyway, can we carry on with
anyway, forget Fawlty Towers.
Yes,
so now I stop all that. I pick up my phone, ready to make my question. I want to talk too, right? And then the pure shambles and waste of time hit my screen. What a shocking attempt at what it was essentially just virtual radio. That's what it was. If you have any idea about media houses, now, I mean, you guys do, but for the audience out there, media houses are really slick, okay? Taking questions and answers and debating contents is actually what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it even possible that the media houses themselves couldn't get online?
Mm-hmm.
So you had the big EWNs, Newsroom Africas, whatever, hanging on, ENCAs hanging on, but they couldn't get through. Okay, so let me tell the audience, for your own benefit, how the back room of a media room works, and you're going to back me up here.
Mm-hmm.
Every single radio and television station in the world works with the following basics, okay? You get a show-stopping guest, yay. The guest is happy to answer the nation's questions directly, double yay.
Right.
And first you put out a big call. Or to social media at the very least to say it's happening and ask the nation what it would like to ask this attention-grabbing guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Then a flood of questions come in, the lines light up in the studios, and a producer or call screener or social media moderator takes down the content. That bit never goes on air. Ever. There are many reasons for this. Number one is you don't want to waste the guest's time. He is an ace card, remember? And two, did you get that?
I thought that was very clever.
The
ace card, it did not
go over
my head.
I thought it was very smart.
We have a lot of pollution here in Joburg, but we can still think straight.
Nice, nice. Number two, you get the hate that might go on air that we don't then hear, right? Absolutely. So we just want the question. So the nutters don't get in. And then you get repetition in these questions. So the producer collates, okay, here's a group of questions. That's the genius of this working mechanic.
Yeah.
Is there's no repetition. And then you add an anchor. A bloody good one, may I say. Okay. And the anchor who hosted the show, I have never heard of him. It's a name I can name literally 20 off the top of my head, yours included, Howard Feldman, that would have made a exceptional anchor on their television in Bezo. And that's how it works. Now, in stark comparison, they put the president on air. They took the questions from the audience into the jock's earphones.
Directly. Oh,
so no one could hear them. No one could hear them.
No.
He then took three questions at a time, summarized them very poorly, and then passed them on to a waiting president who'd now been waiting for 6 minutes. He even rolled his eyes at some point. He yawned at another.
Terrible.
And then a question came up about rape. And a woman told a story that while he was taking the question, it must have been 3 minutes. Do you know how long 3 minutes is in television time?
Okay, actually confident what she's telling me. So she's talking in his ear.
And into the jock's ear.
Yes. And
no one else can hear her.
So now what? Everybody sits and waits.
Now, we all wait, including the president. Because it's also done on Zoom, the interpreter, you know, we love a deaf and dumb interpreter, you and I. The interpreter is as small as like 2 centimeters by 2 centimeters. you'd have to be sitting on the TV to be able to work out what was being said, when it was being said. So the end result was on particularly this rape question. I mean, her question was so long that she had a long story to tell. And he turned around and said, okay, so this woman was raped by somebody who was mentally challenged. That was his summary. To which the president then went on for 10 minutes about gender-based violence and how putrid it is and how bringing back the death penalty will not work in South Africa. Okay?
Right.
So, like, he just did his normal thing.
Exactly. He pulled out that answer, yeah.
And then, and I'm beginning to really love this television station, Newsroom Africa. They are so smart.
Are they good?
They were clever enough to put up a Twitter feed alongside the shambles that was happening on the left, okay? So at least you were reading what the people were saying.
Yes.
And then the people, every single post was about cigarettes.
Wow. And that tells you people were actually more interested
in. So then they asked the president about cigarettes, and he went, no, don't worry, they will come back eventually. And nobody believed him. It was a shambles. It was an absolute shambles. At best, we got 7 questions answered by the president and maybe 6 minutes of his time. Absolutely appalling. You didn't waste a moment of your time. I'm glad you didn't, because you'd be as incensed as I am, which is why this week we have analyzed President Ramaphosa's sentiments.
Okay.
And he's sitting with whopping.
Fascinated to hear.
A whopping negative 58%. 58.8 actually. And the biggest words are in there are Imbizo, Angie Motseka, ANC must fall, back to school, useless, apartheid, infection rate. These are the words that are coming out, Mr. President. So you're Imbizo.
Wow.
Give it to me. I'd have done a better job. I promise you I'd have done a better job. I got to calm down. I sound so angry.
You sound angry. It's a nutty. What do you think?
She actually is making me want to watch that Imbizo. Like,
I know, also do now. I also do. You actually made it sound quite interesting to watch.
I'm literally looking for the video now.
Are you actually Yes. actually sitting here Googling it. Tanya, look what you've done.
I put it in my favorites.
No, but it's more to
future reference.
Yeah. That's terrible because all we want.
Oh, no, it's shocking.
And it's so funny because I think, you know, I do this a Sunday podcast with Dr. Anton Marburg where I ask him a whole lot of COVID related questions. And that's exactly what happens. I get hundreds of questions before. You group them.
Yes.
You laugh at the stupid ones and then cross them out. And, or maybe you keep one or two of them just for you. Okay. So thank goodness around COVID, we haven't seen a lot of races. That I do on our SMS line. So I don't read out any SMS that could be racist. So racism, anti-Semitism, we just lose those. But you group them and you see the things that people are asking. And then you ask
and
the questions around
them. Howard, and because you are a senior journalist, you are aware, acutely aware of what is going on along the ground.
Yeah.
So when you get those questions, you know the backstories as well. You can have a proper debate and a proper Imbizo. No, it was just shocking.
Terrible. Terrible. What else was
I'm not going to cheer you up any further, because Bulelani Kolani, what on earth is this story? So for those that don't know, this man lived in a shack in Khayelitsha. He was taken out of his shack, had no clothes on because he was in the middle of washing himself, was dragged out into the local street without a police warrant, beaten viciously by saps, and then his shack was burnt to the ground in the same manner that his dignity was crushed by what can only be described as the most heartless and outrageous story this week. The thing that infuriated me is we referred to him as the naked man. Media, his name is Bulelani Kolani. And
so can I tell you, Tanya, when you were saying the name, I looked at the note and said, who is that? And until you started telling the story about this naked guy, I didn't know his name.
And all I've been seeing, and all I've been seeing in the headlines is naked man.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah.
It's absolute disgrace. I did not know his name.
Headline grabbing, and the story is headline grabbing enough. Thank you very much.
Hmm.
Okay, this all happens during a time where the country is fighting to eat, and South Africa, well, actually Cape Town, decided it's time to pull down illegal dwellings
in winter,
in the harshest of winters. What is wrong with us?
Wow.
Did they need the land to build a hospital? Because even that is not justification enough for the treatment of this human being. Like, really, how dare you? How dare you practically sentence this man to a life on the street after stripping him of every ounce of his human dignity? And in my opinion, it's time for the hashtag Cape Town must fall. And I have many Cape Townian friends, and you're lovely people. Can you rise up, please, and stop this nonsense?
But it's interesting because Cape Town has for so long managed to live in this duality where you've got this, you've got these two things living along, these two completely different worlds living alongside each other. And somehow it just hasn't evolved.
I said it before, Howard, and I'll say it again. There are 400,000 people in Khayelitsha and 400,000 people in the city of Cape Town. Each one feed one.
I love that. Actually, what an amazing initiative that would be. Mm. Wow.
That. Whatever. We can dream, eh?
Tanya.
I was mourning. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but like,
no, but we have to dream. When, you know, look what you did. Look what you did with your feeding schemes in your area. You dreamed it, you made it happen, and you did it. And you gave people food and dignity. So.
Can somebody else also stand up, though?
Come on, Zanati. Do it. Do it. According to our listeners, you're so busy.
Humanitarian aid has been exceptional. Human beings have been exceptional. But what's going on? Like, it's so long. It's too long. We have to come up with a sustainable solution. And I mean, just as I was lamenting all that, did you see Nigerians Must Fall?
Oh gosh,
you'll be forgiven if you didn't. It only happened yesterday.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, what happened?
But Howard, do you panic every time you interview?
Yeah, I do, because it's like these huge stories, and how did I miss it? What's going on in my timelines?
So it's a horrific story. 16 girls were found in a home where they were being held kidnapped. They were kidnapped and they were given drugs instead of food and led into a life of we know what, by a Nigerian drug lord. And that followed with the hashtag Nigerians Must Fall to such a level that it just flooded. And really, guys, here's the thing. Like, yes, this is a crime, and they must do the time. But it's not the time. In fact, hang them high, in my opinion. Mm. Top of their heads, in my opinion. But it's not the time for xenophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, illegal immigrants should go home. But right now, everybody's home looks like this. We are home. This is it. This infected horror movie is our home. And humans are being attacked. And when will you see that we all bleed red and that some people are good and others are pure evil, regardless of the box you keep trying to put them in? Sorry. Rant over.
Time is 8:26. Tanya, one more story. What you got for us?
Oh, I'm going to go with what cheered me up, and it wouldn't have cheered you up, but it was.
Which story is that?
State Capture Inquiry.
Oh, you love it. It's your best. Yeah.
I just adore him. Yeah. I adore him. He makes me feel normal. It's season 142, episode 3 of State Capture Inquiry, and it is as lit as ever. Popo Malefe, don't you just love him?
Brilliant.
He dropped more files than a greasy, and this time he dropped the big bomb. The big bomb, the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa himself, has been implicated in the Prasa debacle. And then enter Dennis Blum saying without ceremony that Ramaphosa lied about state capture. I tell you one thing, my Netflix usage has taken a huge dip because you can't get more interesting than the Zondo Commission now.
The question is, where does it go? That is my concern, you know, when you've got the, you know, you've got the statement saying, well, we're not winning against corruption. Well, let's hurry this along then. Let's do something. Just arrest.
Absolutely. I think Judge Zondo might be dead by the time it's all over. Yeah. I mean, it's going to go on for years, isn't it? To end up, I think just stay home, go and hide under your bed. In fact, watch Fawlty Towers, but only if you're white, because it is racist, by the way. I am trying.
We are going to have that conversation another time. We are going to have a Fawlty Towers. We are going to have a Fawlty Towers conversation, me and you, Tanya.